You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
I committed to a marathon.
Why would you do that?
Why not? It's only a 10K.
10K?
That doesn't count, man.
That's it. Not even a half marathon.
Guys do that hungover on Christmas Day.
Thanks a lot for the support. Everything I do, you think's a joke.
Shut up and drive. With Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
On the clip, I mentioned that everything I do you think is a joke. I did something Friday night that you will clearly think is a joke.
What did you do?
I went roller skating.
Like four wheels on each skate type of thing?
I was like a pretty balanced skater as like a pro hockey player.
Or like
you give me a skate with four rollers on it, I couldn't move out there, dude.
It's a totally different routine.
And there was people over. Grit grinding, dancing, crossing over like back in the 70s, and I was just Bambi out there. I couldn't move.
Jean
and
shorts?
There is some grit grinders at a roller rink.
I'll bet you my weekend topped any grit grind you may have come across.
I'd like to hear this.
Because I was in Hamilton, Ontario on Saturday night.
The Keswick?
Hamilton is on a different level than any city you will come across.
Leads the nation in mustaches, no doubt.
It's the best.
The Tat Man.
I saw the Tat Man.
He's the face of Hamilton, is he not?
I was driving out of Hamilton yesterday, late morning, early afternoon, probably right around noon. And I'm driving down one of the main streets downtown, and I spot him. I'm like, I could see the mustache like about a half a block away. I'm like,
you just randomly saw Taddy?
Taddy was walking by.
In Hamilton.
In Hamilton.
Like he just walks the streets of Hamilton?
He was just kind of cruising around, sending a vibe out in Hamilton.
I suspect that it's just Taddy lookalikes, because if there's mustaches everywhere, I think you just spotted the stash.
I'm telling you, man, it was the Tat Man. And
did you do a roll down and wave to Tat Man?
I was driving. Like I was thinking about giving him the double honk, but he wouldn't know my car anyway. And why would he ever think I was on Main Street in Hamilton?
Well, he wasn't coming out of some place he shouldn't have been.
No. Well, maybe he was, but I didn't see him do anything shady. I mean,
neon lighting it?
No, yeah. There wasn't an open sign. But he was just kind of cruising around, and it was like the parting of the sea. You could tell everyone knew the Tat Man was so bombing around downtown. And
That's what the Tat Man
why
does.
Why were you
with
in
time
Hamilton?
Off.
Why?
Yeah.
My buddy works for the team. The Bulldogs. So we're at the game. It was his birthday over the weekend. So a bunch of the boys.
Well, you sound a bit raspy. Was there other things involved?
There were some cocktails involved in the.
You got the Monday hangover voice.
I do, but you know why? Because I didn't sleep enough all weekend, and I'm done with owning a house. And I know this is a first world problem. I had to shovel four times this weekend.
So your arms are just.
Times. I feel like I'm in a body cast. You know the body cast where your arms are up? I can barely move today.
But why don't you pay
a guy? You've got to train for the marathon. This is not a good sign.
That's the only thing that I'm taking out of this from a positive standpoint is I feel like I got some training in this
weekend.
You
did get some training. If you've shoveled four times, that's hard work.
The thing is, McDonald's at 2:30 in the morning on Saturday night probably didn't help.
What was your order, though?
It was
Nuggies?
Two packs of Nuggies. A cheeseburger. There was a lot of food.
You overordered?
I overordered. There was a lot of money spent. It was one of those situations you wake up the next day and somehow you have the receipt in your pocket and you're like, how did I spend like $23 at McDonald's?
So should we get to our new segment or no?
Do you want to play the music? And
this is kind of going to be a pathetic first entry. Let's play it.
A myth began to grow about my speed.
I'm too old to waste my time trying to train a no-good loser like you. You bum!
I need a miracle.
Run, Forrest, run!
Get set.
From couching to 10K.
So, from couching to 10K, every day or couple days, we're going to get into the training that we've put in. So, by your talk, You shoveled your driveway, and I went roller skiing.
I went backwards. Like, I'm in worse shape today than I was on Friday.
Me too.
By a significant margin.
Because I went roller skating, and my hips and my ankles are killing me. And you can't even move your arms.
I'm on the shelf for at least a week and a half.
Yeah.
Arm injuries.
Dude, we need Paul Blart machines for this marathon.
I don't think we're going to get through it. Like, we got about three months.
Our boss said we're not even going to show up. Like,
well, that's the thing. You goof on me for not showing faith in you. We there around this building, they have zero faith in any of us to accomplish anything.
We'll never live it down if we don't even show up.
We got to do it now.
You know what'll happen?
We said we got to do it, but
it'll be forgotten, just like every other promise on this show.
No, this is different, though.
Where was the Nordic polling? Where was the weren't you supposed to skateboard? Weren't we supposed to have a run in here? We did have a run.
He and Jonas went for a sprint. We were supposed to buy a hearse a few years ago.
We were supposed to buy a hearse.
That's one I wish we followed through on.
Why were you going to buy that?
I don't know.
I don't know. I think there's something kind of different about a hearse.
It was like a tailgating hearse.
Yeah, it's different. You're dead when you ride in it.
Oh, that's what it was, actually, because the guy in Cleveland for the Browns, remember that? Some guy created a tailgating hearse.
And we were going to buy one.
And we were going to look into buying one.
Wouldn't you want an overdrive hearse?
Tell me that doesn't send a message when you show up at a tailgate.
You pop the back open and have a giant barbecue.
It's a grill and beers and coolers.
Instead of a coffin, it's just barbecues and beers.
I could see it, the Bills. Like,
oh, yeah.
The Buffalo Bills fans, for sure, would have.
The Bills Mafia gets after it in more ways than one.
Anyway, but that's our workout update.
Yeah,
not good.
So roller skating and shoveling.
And hungover shoveling.
And stuff.
And stuff. So that was about it. So yeah. I don't know. We got time. We'll figure it out.
We got plenty of time.
We got a few months.
Let's start today. Let's say, okay, starting today, we'll start to track what's going on. You give the weekend to kind of get into it mentally. Now physically you get involved.
That was always my problem when I was like trying to convince myself I was going to start losing weight. I would always say after this final weekend.
Yeah, this final weekend.
And then it would be debauchery for 48 hours.
Well, then you put
I love people that are trying to quit darts. They're like, not a chance in hell am I doing this during the holidays. I'm not quitting darts during the holidays.
You can always come up with a reason.
For sure.
Oh,
yeah.
Right? Like, oh, January is a
the
tough
weekend
month.
After that, my buddy's coming in, and he loves darts. And it's a golf trip after that, and darts are flying everywhere. You will never quit darts.
You can always come up with a reason.
Always.
Always come up with a reason. Because actually, I had a buddy that had that same situation. He's been trying to quit for a long time. And he's actually pretty good with it. Like, during the week, somehow. But the boys got together.
Yeah.
He fell right off the wagon.
He's not vaping anymore?
No, he was right into
it. And it all starts like this. Slim, give me a drag of that. And then they're running to a convenience store.
It's
carton of Players Light, please.
That's the best part is, like, when we go on trips, these guys, it's like a cocaine smuggler. Like, they've got it taped to their,
they've got
organs.
A hockey bag full of cigarettes.
They go in for a cavity search, and they've got, like, Demoriers.
In plastic bags.
Yeah, it's pretty outrageous. Anyway,
let's get to some hardcore sports talk.
Yeah, I mean, we got a lot of things to get into because Sam Mitchell is going to join us in studio in about 25 minutes.
Yes.
And there is panic in Raptors Nation.
Well, he's always like, relax. Let's see where his head is at because everybody.
If he's panicking, we're all panicking.
You're right.
I don't think he's going to panic, though.
I'll tell you what, though. It's another Sunday game. Me and my friend watched the Raps, and it's the same scenario. Big lead. I don't know. It was 15.
They were up 16 going into the fourth quarter at home against a mediocre.
And every time it just shrinks and shrinks and shrinks, and then a late shot, and they're done.
Yeah.
I could not believe my eyes.
It's an 18-wheeler, and they are just going 100 right at the cliff. Like, that's what's happening. And now you got guys like Kyle Lowry. Not guys. This is the face of the team, the voice of the team, who's speaking out post-game. And he tried to kind of reel the comments back today at shoot-around. But we'll get to all of the audio and all the commentary a little bit later in the hour. Sam Mitchell will be in studio around 4:25. Leafs coming off a bad loss on Saturday night. They've changed their slogan in the room. This is apparently very important stuff. Mike Babcock unveiling a new slogan today, play fast, play right. Does that do anything? Like, if you're in that room, are you sitting there saying, yes, we got a new slogan, now we're going to figure things out?
No, he's probably been harping on that for a while. Play fast, play the right way. But it's another thing, and we all know Mike Babcock likes the optics of everything, right? So that's just something for everyone to talk about. That's what it is. Ask me about the new slogan. That's the way I want our team to play. That's why I want you to hammer home with these young players. Ask.
Oh, you think that, it's like a diversion tactic?
I think it's just another thing that, I mean, Mike Babcock is a master of manipulating the media. He's a master at getting his message across, what he wants out there. So this is just another one. Why not do it like, do it at the end of the season? Do it like you're doing it mid-season.
I it's not the end of the world. Who knows? Who cares what the slogan is?
Exactly.
It's for the team. But I can't recall a coach coming out and saying mid-season we're changing up the rallying cry before we get on the ice, or we're painting the room and we're going to add a new slogan. I don't know. The timing seems strange because they're 2-4-2 in their last eight games.
Mm-hmm.
They've allowed the teams around them to catch up, and this is a big week for them because this is the games in hand week on Boston.
Yeah.
Boston's on their bye, and they got two back-to-backs, the Islanders tomorrow night, then Columbus on Wednesday, playing Columbus for the first time this year. And then they got Ottawa, Carolina on the weekend.
They've got some.
You got two back to backs.
You've got some games in front of you that you believe if you're playing well can win. But to your point, Brian, these are the games in hand on Boston, and you're looking around. I mean, Boston's played pretty well. They won last night. They've got to make up these points. You have to, especially in your own building. You've
right.
got to win.
They're just sleeping for 20 minutes against the Sabres. It was
bad
but
start.
That ends it, right?
Oh, it was
that
over.
Ends it. That's what happened in Dallas.
Yeah, people talked about the shots on net. A lot of score effects there. They were down so many. They were just rifling everything at the net.
Yeah.
It wasn't good enough.
No, I mean, you're in the point of the season where, you know, of course, structure matters. All of the details of the game matter. But mm-hmm. I think if you're a fan, it's pretty simple. Just find a way to win. I don't care if Freddie's got to make 55 saves. I'm not going to come in the next day and say, you can't win like that. Yeah, you can. Bank the points.
Yeah, go win.
You know,
exactly.
This isn't September, October. We're starting the journey. Let's do it right. You're deep enough into the season where you're tracking the standings.
Right.
Right? It's standings tracking time. And it was a tough weekend for them because Boston won back-to-back games. Philly picked up points. Ottawa picked up points.
Yeah.
Like the teams that are around them, Tampa's all of a sudden winning a couple of games
Buffalo
here.
Buffalo won
there.
One, lost one. Like there,
right.
there's teams starting to converge a little bit. That's what makes you a little bit uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Is for a while there, you're like, nah, we've got a little bit of a buffer if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs. All of a sudden, teams start to, they're in striking distance and you start to get a little bit nervous. They're still in good shape as far as games played, but they've got to take care of what they can control, and that's their own games.
Right. And, again, Boston goes 2-0 over the weekend. They seem to have responded to a new coach.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still early. That can go one way or the other. Ottawa gets Craig Anderson back, shutout in his first game. That's obviously a big addition for them.
Yeah.
So these are the teams around him, and this is a big week for the Maple Leafs. And you would assume, from a goaltending perspective, McElhinney will get at least one of the games.
Mm-hmm.
You think he'll play both of the back-to-backs, or is it desperation mode?
Depend on how he does in the first one.
How Freddie plays.
Yeah. No, and McElhinney.
And McElhinney. If he does his job again and they're confident in front of him, he gets 2 points, why wouldn't you go back to him?
Yeah.
Freddie's not in a frame of mind right now where you're like, yeah, I got to go to him 2 games in a row.
But it is, I know, Brian, you used this the other day. These are all must wins. These are schedule watchers. You have to win these games or at least get points night in and night out. So you go with your best. If Freddie can go, like, this is a pivotal point in their season here. If Freddie can go and he's playing well, yeah, you can roll him back to back. But McElhinney is at least going to get one game this week. Maybe two, to your point, if he plays well.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to do his job.
That's right. And he's done it so far.
Yes.
I mean, you got to give him full credit. He has really set the tone early in his tenure here in Toronto.
Yes.
You know, he's been a big addition for them. It was an interesting week, though, in the NHL in general, because the Habs lost back-to-back, and now they're on their bye week, and it is panic time in Montreal.
I thought of our buddy Tony.
Tony Marinaro must be freaking out, because based on the points percentages, Ottawa is ahead of them now in the standings.
Yeah.
They have 5 games in hand, and they're 6 points back. So Montreal, who started the season 13-1-1,
and
since then...
Isn't it crazy, 2 years in a row, how they could have a start like that and just... Obviously, you're going to come back a little bit, and you're going to have some ups and downs. But
yeah, I'm not as worried as everyone else about them. They just need their players to play better.
Well, they need Carey Price to play better, too. He's lost 10 of last 14. His save percentage.
He hasn't been good enough at all. Shea Weber hasn't been good enough lately. Radulov hasn't been good enough lately.
It's all crap.
The only guy who's been good is Pacioretty. He's the only guy. He's got 8 goals, I think, in his last 6 games. Outside of that, we were looking at the numbers last night. Galchenyuk coming off of injury.
He hasn't been very good.
Shaw coming off of injury hasn't been very good. Gallagher coming off of injury. He gets a slap shot in the ribs last night. Like
I saw that live. I was like, wow, here we go again.
This guy can't help himself. But that group needs to be. Petrie's been terrible. Markov looks 39 years old. Like that group.
There's
has
a
to
group where I
always
say, like, a you know, making a trade. But there's a group possibly. If you made a trade for an impact player somehow, it could maybe revitalize. It's either one or two things: make a trade for an impact guy, or guess what the other one is?
The coach.
Well, and I don't get the impression like Bergevin is going to lay it on Michel Therrien.
I don't think
that's going to happen. I think Bob McKenzie was talking about that this morning on radio in Montreal. He said, don't look to the coach, but look to a trade. Like, they're going to be kicking tires on that.
Yeah.
And Bob made a good point. Like, you don't make a PK for Weber trade if you're thinking of reloading or retooling or taking your team in a different direction. You make the PK for another established veteran move because you think you have enough to win right now. And the debate surrounding Montreal for the past 2 or 3 years has been all around Price. When Price goes human, how good are these guys? And this
is a fair point.
This is where they're at. I mean, let's be honest. The way that they're set up, you take Price out of it.
Right.
They are built closer to the middle of the pack than they are to the higher of the pack. They don't have the talent Washington has or Pittsburgh
has.
What
do you think the Buffalo Sabres were for all those years behind Dominic Hasek?
Right.
It was like if Dominic Hasek, which he never seemed to do, if he ever went normal, that team did not win a lot of hockey.
Played tough, bunch of second, third line type guys.
But they're not
shots.
That. They should be better than that.
Right.
Well, they should be.
They, you know.
You make a good point. Here, this is what I was looking last night. Out East, the cream of the crop is Washington and Pittsburgh.
Not even a question.
I put the Habs below that.
Why are we talking about anybody else? That's how good they are.
Yeah, but I put the Habs below that, but I put them a layer above the rest. So they're kind of if layer two, everyone else is layer three.
Where would you have Columbus in New York, the Rangers? I think you'd have to have them with the Habs, personally.
Yeah, it's a good point. Columbus for me has fallen off, and I won't use that narrative. And this is what's bothered me about the narrative of, well, since the 13-1 start for Montreal, well, they had that start. We're not taking away 4 goals from Austin Matthews and saying, well, you take away that game, he's done. You have to give them credit for what they've done. Last night, people were asking me, well, they haven't done much since the 13-1 start. Well, the 13-1 start, the 16 in a row for Columbus, that gives you a lot
they're of banked leader. In points.
They're banked points. You'll never get away from that. So you're right. I think the Rangers fall in there. I think Columbus, to me, still falls more
they're teetering in there.
Yeah, they're kind of with the Ottawa. I think the Maple Leafs, a lot of those
Boston, Philly,
they all fall in for me. That's my personal.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
If you want to go out west, I watched Minnesota play against Detroit yesterday.
I know.
They are good, man.
They're really good.
They are really good. They got size. They got speed. They got a good decor. They got the goaltending. And there was an incident in that game where Gustav Nyquist just pitchforked Spurgeon in the face. And I saw it. I was playing with my kids. I saw it out of the corner of my eye. And I saw the remorse. And I tweeted, I think it was Russo out there in Minnesota. He made a call. I go, that was an accident, I think. And then I watched the replay again. That is not an accident. That was just... That was racky from Youngblood.
It was.
It was.
He was pissed off that he got.
It was a
retaliatory
play.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what they're going to throw at him, but they got to throw the book at him.
I'd say minimum 6 or 7
games.
Well,
6. Oh. He's getting 6 for sure because it's an in person.
I think so, between 10 and 20, don't you? That was ridiculous.
I would give a lot. There's no excuse for that. Like, if you hit a guy from behind or you hit a guy in the head, you can say, okay.
If Wyman got 20 games for hitting a referee from behind, shouldn't this be 20 games for almost taking a guy's eye out?
There's never the only reason you use your stick is with the puck. Like, well, everyone knows that. There's no reason for you to ever come up and swing that. That was so dangerous.
Last night, we had to talk about it last night. Duncan Keith got 6 for his accidental on purpose swipe at the face of, I can't remember who it was. Oh, it was Charlie Coyle.
Mm-hmm.
And Zach Cassian got 8 for taking all of – Sam Gagner's teeth out with a swing of the stick, and that was a follow-through of a hit. Somewhere, the league's
trying to get 20 games.
The league's trying to get away from it. For me, I said 8 to 10, and I would lean more to 10, double digits. But he is a first-time offender. Keith wasn't, I believe, and I think Cassian was repeat, too, but it's going to be a big number.
It has to be a big number. And this isn't an epidemic in the game.
No.
Stick swinging doesn't happen, but that's why you throw it at the guy, because you're like,
exactly.
You're such a dummy. What do you think you're doing?
100%.
You know, like an elbow is never good, hit from behind never good, but it takes two to tango. Sometimes the guy moves, sometimes,
right.
You know, you don't control exactly where your body's going. A stick, I mean, that's very simple. There's no rope there for me. Sam Mitchell will join us in studio. The Raptors, they are crumbling right now, and Kyle Lowry was not happy post-game last night. A lot of people think he was directing that fury at the head coach, Dwayne Casey. We'll get Sam in here. We'll get his take on that. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050. All right, take it or leave it trivia later in the hour. Ray just after 5. Raptors up 16 going into the fourth quarter last night, end up losing. Third time in team history that's happened where they're up 16 going into the fourth and they lost. Previous two times were on the road. Doesn't make it any easier, but the previous two times were on the road. Last night, first time at the ACC, and that was surreal to watch it all just kind of crumble on them.
I'm in panic mode.
You're officially in panic mode.
I don't like what I'm seeing. Too many games I watch, Sam.
Sam Mitchell's in
But what is it that you're seeing that got you panicking?
I just don't like how they can't close a deal. I think their coach came out and said that they have to learn how to play with the lead. How'd they forget how to play with the lead? What the hell happened? Why can't they play with the lead? It's the same story almost every game.
Now, I would say those are some strange comments considering this team went to the Eastern Conference Finals last year.
Well, that's what
so
I mean.
This is
well,
an
how
accomplished
did they forget?
Team that knows how to win. I wouldn't say you forget how. I just think maybe sometime mentally – when you know you're a better team. Look, I was at the game. I did the game last night for TSN, and Leo and I was talking about how great the Raptors were playing, moving the ball for three quarters. But then in the fourth quarter, when Detroit started making that run, the ball started sticking. They stopped having the movement that they had. They stopped setting good screens. And then the ball just kind of stuck in Kyle and DeMar's hand too much. And Valanciunas was having a good game. Some of the other bigs were having a good game. And that's the time when you really got to continue to move the basketball. And DeMar and Kyle got to pick and choose their spots. But
so what are you saying
Detroit
when it comes
credit,
down
man.
To pressure points? It just
no,
those two
but
guys
I just think
it's got to be me?
I just think what Detroit did to them in that fourth quarter, Stan found something. Dude, all night, Detroit was just jacking up bad three-point shots. And then all of a sudden they got on a run and shots started going in. To me, if I would say there's one thing I would point to that the adjustment they didn't make last night is that when Detroit was running that high pick and roll, and I can't remember the guy's name. I see your face right now. What's the guy that came from Orlando Stan traded for last year?
I'll look it up right now.
What's his name? I see his face right now. He was their leading scorer last night.
Yeah, what did he have, 24 points?
Yeah, I can't remember the guy's name. But he started in Orlando.
Oh, Tobias Harris.
Tobias Harris. If you go back and watch, Tobias had about four or five baskets in that fourth quarter where they ran a high screen and roll with him. And JV was back. Like, the thing that drives me crazy with the NBA now is that when San Antonio had Tim Duncan, David Robinson, those guys, they protected the rim. And that's when all that vertical defense, remember? Big guys used to go attack the ball. Pop had this thing where I want you to protect the basket without fouling. So now, you know if San Antonio does it,
everyone
guess
else
what?
Has to do it.
You're not a good coach if you don't do it. So all the coaches now drop their bigs. And what we teach our guards now, if that big drops, as he's backpedaling, you get to your spot and you pull up and shoot the ball.
Yeah.
And so to me, the adjustment that's got to be made, you got to bring your bigs up because people, they just exploited that defensive principle all night. And the one adjustment the Raptors could have made was just bring their bigs up because you're connected to the guy hip. You're on his right side. He's a right-handed shooter. You're going to be putting pressure on that right hand that shot. But JV kept retreating, and Tobias Harris just dribbled him down to that 17-foot range and just pulled up and shot a free throw.
Well, that adjustment, that's on Dwayne Casey.
Yeah, it's those adjustments of coaching, but you got to ask yourself, I don't know their defensive principles. You know what I mean? Most teams today, if they have a big center, and this is what they're afraid of, They do it because they're afraid of guys attacking the bigs. And go back the game before. Mm-hmm. When Andrew Wiggins beat the double team. See, people are not talking about that. The reason Andrew Wiggins was able to make that pass, I love the defensive principle the Raptors had in that last play. They were going to trap Andrew Wiggins because if you go back, all Minnesota ran in the fourth quarter was pick and roll with Andrew Wiggins. That last play, they were going to trap it. But again, we teach our guards, between the two guys, attack the slowest, most non-athletic guy, which is the center most nights. He beat him in the double team. That's why he was able to make the pass, and that's why you saw the Raptors overhelp. DeMar came over. All these guys was in the paint, and they couldn't get back to Tyus Jones for the three.
Sam Mitchell in studio. I want to play the clip post-game from Kyle Lowry last night that has the whole league talking, quite frankly, not only people here in Toronto. This is after the Raps blew a 16-point lead going into the fourth quarter last night.
Keep putting in the same situations over and over, and they're not being successful. Something got to give, something got to change.
Any idea what that is?
Or I have an idea, but I'm gonna, you know, keep my mouth shut. Keep it very, you know, professional.
So he didn't really keep his mouth shut. He said he's got an idea. Things have to change. But then when he was pushed on exactly who he was talking about, you know, he wasn't going to go down that road.
So I want to ask the coach, if you heard that clip, would you call him in your office and say, what the hell are you talking about? Or are you just leaving that alone?
I wouldn't call him in my office. Maybe in practice when we just got some downtime and a water break or something.
What are you going
to
say?
I might would just walk over to him and just, hey, I know you was frustrated, but we all have to be careful after a game. What did we say? Guys, let's go back a few weeks. What did LeBron James say after they lost to New Orleans without Anthony Davis? That's when all that happened with LeBron James, right? Mm-hmm. Frustration after a game. They was frustrated. They had 3 days of practice. They had a 16-point lead, and they lost the game at the end. But go back and look at that final play. Give Stan Van Gundy some credit. Give Detroit some credit. He didn't call a timeout, and he didn't give the Raptors a chance to set their defense. All right. So if you go back and look at that play, DeMar DeRozan, you know, in transition had lost his man. Lucas Nogueira had kind of lost his man. And so in transition, you saw Kyle was responsible for the ball. But then on the drive, he saw in the corner of his eye, Caldwell-Pope in the corner wide open. So he was trying to play two guys on that one play. And so it was a lot of things happened. It was mostly lack of communication in transition.
Don't you think this comment, though, is more than just one quarter? It's been building up for a while. I mean, this team, because Kyle was also asked about if he's panicking or if he's getting concerned. He said, yeah, I'm starting to get concerned. Like, we're losing a lot of games here. And we're starting to sink down the Eastern Conference. They're still going to make it. They got a 7.5 point buffer anyway. They're getting in. But it went from a month ago, hey, could they challenge Cleveland for the top spot? To, hey, do you think they're even going to get home court in the first round? And, you know, I think Boston's blown past them. I think Washington has certainly blown past them in terms of expectations if the playoffs were to start tonight.
Well, I just think people are panicking because what? If you finish fourth, who do you see in the second round?
Cleveland.
That's
not the plan.
Yeah, you want to be two or three.
Right.
Absolutely. And you want to have home court because let's think about it. More revenue for the home team. You got four games at home compared to three. So, look, and that is a legitimate concern. Not that you're afraid of Cleveland, but it is Cleveland. It is LeBron James, and they are the defending champions. And you would like to play them in the Eastern Conference Finals, not the second round of the playoffs.
Sam Mitchell in studio. There seems to be a lot of drama in the NBA this year. Like, I'm enjoying it. Like, really, I am.
Dude, y'all should love it.
Like, Kevin Durant in Oklahoma City on Saturday night. Yeah. Now, they've just smoked the Thunder three times now, I believe. And Russell.
But you know what's weird about that? I get Russ. What's Anthony Robeson and the rest of them guys? I mean, really? Yeah. Anthony Robeson?
What are you going to say to Kevin
you're
Durant?
You're getting in Kevin Durant's face?
Right.
Really?
Do you think
that's
Westbrook, though, setting the tone, though,
dude,
don't you think?
But look, understand something. Russ can do a lot of things that no one else on that team can do. That's Russ. He's a great player. He's an all-star. You know, he's a first or second team all-NBA-type player. Anthony Robeson, you're a role player. Now, I understand your role.
So what does
is
that
to
mean?
Play.
He's just supposed to sit on a bench and
But, dude, if you can't bag up what you're doing, your antics, all you're doing is making it harder for the guy that actually got to do something. Because when Kevin Durant's get rolling and you're supposed to be the designated stopper and he's roasting you, really? So I used to say this all the time. when teams used to hit Reggie Miller, what we learned, instead of hitting the guy that hit Reggie, which was normally the ninth or tenth guy on the team, guess what we did? So when we would play the Knicks and they would punish Reggie, we would punish Patrick. So guess what Patrick started doing after about the third game?
Leave him alone.
Leave him alone. Yeah. Because you guys are the ones not getting hit. I'm the ones taking the punishment. So every time they hit Reggie, we hit Patrick. Because we learned, why am I going to hit the 11th man of the team that's in the game just to
pick up
tough?
Five fouls?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Dude, why am I going to do that? No, what I'm going to do, we're going after your best player. So when Anthony Robinson, my whole thing is, if you could big enough to start some, you better be better, good enough to finish it. And he's not good enough to finish it.
You mentioned the Knicks. What's your take on this whole Charles Oakley, James Dolan thing? I mean,
sad.
It's sad.
Oak's a friend of mine, and I don't know what happened. I'm kind of, until we get all the information, you know, some people say he came in and he was yelling things at Jim Dolan. Some people say he wasn't. Well, he said he wasn't. Until we get the truth, you know, I'm not going to pass judgment because Oak's my friend. He's still my friend, and I don't want to believe my friend would show up at a game and start yelling profanity at the owner to the point to where they had to drag him out of the arena. I just don't want to believe that. But now, if he did it, if he was yelling obscenities at the owner in a public arena, like a public setting like that, then all bets are off. Then you deserve whatever happened to you. But I would like to think, and I hope and pray that that wasn't the case.
Has there ever been, in your time in the NBA, an owner that is really so hated the way Dolan is? I mean, we had someone that covers the Knicks on with us last week, and he put it into perspective beautifully. He said, there isn't another team in North American sports, a fan base in North American sports, that hates their team more than Knicks fans. And they hate
him.
Isn't
that
always
Dolan. About the Knicks? Think about it. Let's go back in time. Isn't that always about the Knicks at some point in time in their history? First of all, you have the most educated fans in New York when it comes to a lot of sports.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
But also that's a bad thing because of their knowledge or their perceived knowledge of the game, they're very opinionated. And you know, when you think you know something, not only are you opinionated, you're passionate about it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
For the people that don't know, they're kind of going to sit back and be like, well, like I don't understand all about hockey. So I'm never going to get mad at the coach or get mad at the players.
Or you don't care enough about it.
Well, I'm just not educated enough about it.
Yeah.
I enjoy watching it.
Right.
I like the game. I can appreciate it. But I don't know the nuances like you guys do. So when something happens in a hockey game, then I'm not going to be as emotional about it because I don't understand it. But when it comes to basketball, or, okay, put it to you like this. Because I played high school football, I think I'm a football guy, right? I think I know football. I grew up playing football. So when the Atlanta Falcons lost the Super Bowl, everybody in Atlanta is going crazy right now. Why didn't the coach run the ball? You know, you got 3-4 million people in Atlanta. They all think they're the coach now, myself included, right? Because I understand it better. And so in New York, because these fans are educated and they know the game, then it's tough.
Well, there's a lot of truth in that, and I think you look at the Knicks, and just from the top down, I mean, Dolan has not been a good owner. Phil Jackson, I don't think he's fully committed to the gig.
What makes him? Why is he a bad owner? He spends money,
but he spends it wrong. Is the problem?
Okay, but this is the thing.
Overly loyal, I think. Quite frankly,
the people that he hire to make decisions. When I make a decision on a player as a GM. And I say, we need this guy. As the owner, if he didn't sign off on it, what would the fans be saying? He's cheap. He's not committed. If my GM comes to me and say, we need X, Y, and Z, and I give you X, Y, and Z, and it goes bad, how am I a bad owner? Now, I may have hired the wrong person.
But that's on,
or wrong
that's on the owner, right? Like,
okay,
if you keep getting it wrong, I mean, you keep coming back to Isaiah, now you got Phil. And
but, dude. When he hired Phil and gave him total control and paid him $12 million, didn't we all think that was the right thing to do? Yeah, we thought about Phil's never been an executive before, but the guy done won 12 championships.
Yeah.
All right? So what did Dolan do wrong? He gave him $12 million. He gave him complete control. He stays out of the way, and he does what Phil asked him to do. How does that make him a bad owner?
That's a good point.
Well, I think at some point
they just constantly get it wrong.
You keep losing and you keep getting it wrong.
But would you ever think you get it wrong? How about Phil Jackson? What would be the equivalent of Phil Jackson in
hockey?
Scotty Bowman?
Yeah, probably.
So if Scotty Bowman came here and the Maple Leafs management.
You would stay the hell out of the
way. But hold up. And they signed the checks and told him, and look, Scotty Bowman goes in and said, we need to do X, Y, and Z.
Everyone would say, you got it.
And then it goes bad. All right.
Then we'd be carving Scotty.
Who you going to blame? Well, they're mad at the owners. Well, the owners sitting there saying, wait a minute. I hired this guy who's supposedly the best, and I've done everything he asked me to do. How does that make me a bad owner? And I'm not. Well, I don't know Jim Dolan. And I'm not, and I don't know the history and all that stuff. But all I'm saying is, you can't always get caught up in how the fans.
It's not 100% on the owner, but it doesn't it say something that a lot of these former players really have issues with him? And Oakley's a good example. Latrell Sprewell, up until this weekend, was another good example. There's been countless former players who have said, "I got to get out of here," which I think speaks to potentially a poisonous. Setup and system or whatever, atmosphere, whichever way you want to define it.
Brian, you know this. In New York City, you either love it or you hate it. There's no in between. I remember a friend of mine, Kenny Walker, got drafted by the Knicks, right, from a small town, Roberta, Georgia. He hated New York. It was just too big for him. You know, he grew up in a small town. He wasn't used to all that. Great player, but he just couldn't handle the media. The different kind of pressure put on you by the media and fans. New York's a whole different animal, man. Everybody can't handle that place.
Really?
Look at Jeff Hornacek. Does he look like he's been president for 12 years?
He looks
not
like
eight.
Ready to 12. Get out of here. Yeah,
oh,
he does.
He look like he's been president for three terms.
Right, multiple wars.
Oh, my God. And within those three terms, we had the financial collapse. Everything went wrong that could go wrong.
A depression.
Oh, my
night.
God, everything.
Well, quickly, because you know Oakley, could you picture – them somehow getting on the same page in the future, or do you think now that's kind of over?
Brian, I'm hoping with what has happened, I'm hoping that the commissioner gives both of them a call and just say, look, first of all, the fans in New York love Oakley. You got to understand that. When he walks in the building, they love him. And the fans in New York, you know that, they love to hate the Knicks. They love them when they're winning, and then they love to hate them when they're losing. But they're going to come to the games. Now, you know, the Knicks fans are weird. Most teams, like in New Orleans, when you're losing in New Orleans, people just don't show up, right? When you're losing in New York, people show up just to boo you, right?
Yep. It's like the Maple Leafs.
They spend money just to boo you. So, first of all, you have to understand that I hope at some point, because of the relationship between the fans and Oakley, I think he needs to sit down, extend that olive branch, and this would be a good time for them to hug, mend fences, and let whatever happened 19, 20 years ago, it needs to stay there.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of people that I may have done wrong to 20 years ago and may have done me wrong 20 years ago. I'm glad that I'm not carrying that around from 20 years.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. We always love having you in here.
Never done us wrong, Sam.
Yeah. Sam's we're all on the same page all the time. Friend of the
show. I appreciate it, guys.
Good seeing you, man. There he is. Sam Mitchell, former coach of the year with the Raps and longtime player in our TSN Raptors and NBA analysts.
I'll tell you what I found comical watching the game yesterday. Stan Van Gundy watching that guy pace, and he would lose his mind.
Man, he can get a sweat on that sideline.
He was losing it.
Yeah.
He is so entertaining to watch because he doesn't look anything. I mean, I don't know what a coach is supposed to look like in the NBA, but he's just a little guy, and he just would go nuts.
He's always got something to say, too.
He is a very lively guy.
He's energetic. Ray, in about 20 minutes, this is Overdrive TSN 1050.
Take it or leave it trivia with the O-Dog.
All right, we got Wade from London on the line. What's happening, Wade?
How you doing, boys?
We're doing good. You know how this works, right? You get three questions. You got to get one right. Then you have the chance to keep the cash or let it ride into Friday for the vacay and a chance for cash.
O-Dog, it's Monday, man. Go easy on me.
Come on, man. You can do this. Don't be like my host here who's useless on Mondays. All right, here we go. First question. Which Yankees legend and Overdrive bar play hero announced he's having a baby?
Gotta be Jeter.
That means you're a listener, Wade.
That's right, man. Bar play legend, Derek Jeter.
All right, number two. DeMar DeRozan became the second player in Raptors history to score at least 20 points in 20 straight games. Who was the first player to do this?
Vinsanity.
Yes, sir.
You got our man.
Yes, Wade knows where it's at.
All right, Leafs versus Islanders tomorrow. How many points are the Islanders back of the Leafs for a wild card spot?
I don't even know this one. Probably five.
Wrong.
One that's point. A little harsh.
1 point.
Our that, man wrong.
I know, but that's Trump. What do you want me? We could get a Trudeau
fake news
quote from earlier today.
All right, that's $100. What do you want to do, Wade? You want to keep the cash or let it ride into Friday?
Boys, I need a 40th birthday gift for my wife, and winning that trip to Jamaica would be spot on. So
yes.
I'm going to leave it.
Yes.
Love it. My thanks.
You knew Wade was a gambler.
What's the gift for an anniversary?
No, 40th birthday.
Her birthday.
All right, man. Positive vibes. We're thinking about thanks, you, buddy. Stay on hold. Steph will pick it up. Thanks for playing, man.
Thanks, guys.
There's Wade from London.
Calling from the Beef Baron.
Calling from the Baron, thinking about his wife's 40th. That's a guy with an angel and a devil on each shoulder.
I like it.
Imagine calling it from the Beef Baron to play Take It or Leave It trivia, hoping to win your wife a birthday present.
Never know.
That's a well-respected move.
It would be.
It's a well-respected
from the payphone outside in the parking lot.
Oh, yeah. You know there's a payphone right around
the
corner.
There's a payphone at the Baron. I guarantee you it.
That place is something else. What an establishment. One of London's finest. All right, Ray, in about 10 minutes. Mark Denis will join us in the 6 p.m. hour, too. What's going on with the Habs? We'll get you an update on how people are feeling in Montreal.
You want to talk about Sam touched on it. Knicks fans, they love to love you when you're winning, and they love to actually hate you.
Right.
Montreal is very similar.
Very similar.
Agreed.
Very similar. This is Overdrive TSN 1050.